This episode is available to watch as a video podcast exclusively on the Talking Backwards Patreon page. Sign up today over at patreon.com/talkingbackwards.
Welcome back to Talking Backwards. It's a Twin Peaks podcast. I'm Dave Jackson, and I'm joined by Patrick Mahan.
Hey, everybody.
As always, and also as always, Tyler Mullins.
The earth is soft and moist.
As it should be. So the eagle-eared,
yep.
We'll pick up kind of what we're touching on today, or the eagle-eyed who clicked the link and saw the title.
That's right. We're talking about the Twin Peaks pilot today. Psych! Oh!
Got him.
Wow.
Got him.
You almost fooled me.
I was going to say, you got me.
Almost got him.
I got psyched. I got mind freaked.
Well, I'm going to freak you a little bit more because I got some Pat stats for you.
Uh-oh.
Hit me with that long intro.
The official Pat Stats.
You could have been anywhere in the world tonight, but you're here with us.
Pat Stats.
Haul out your boy for some Pat Stats. Stats.
I hate the Pat Stats.
This is episode 75 of Psych, aka season 5, episode 12, aka Dual Spires. Yes, episode 75 of Psych.
Wow.
I counted
them all.
That's
right, it's an episode of Psych.
Counted them all. Yeah. Season 5, episode 12.
Yep. It was directed by Matt Shakman and was written by Bill Callahan and James Roday, star of Psych.
Roday.
I'm going to be completely honest. This is the only episode of Psych I've ever seen. I've never seen another episode of Psych.
Same.
And that's the truth.
And so the eagle-eared and eagle-eyed, who still don't know what's going on, might say,
why are we doing this?
What, is it Psych cast now?
Yeah.
Yes and no.
It's a one-offer.
Because it's a one-offer. Here's the one-offer now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an episode of Psych that is a direct, almost one-to-one spoof, parody, tribute, homage to Twin Peaks.
Homage.
Featuring a large number of the cast in excellent roles. It's just good TV.
It's really good TV. Really good. James Roday has cited Twin Peaks as his favorite television series of all time. Now, this did air in 2010, so this was well before The Return was a thing. And I said before too, this was the only episode of Psych I've ever seen. And upon doing some research about this show, apparently, I need to go back and watch the pilot of Psych because Don Davis, aka Major Briggs, is in the pilot. So I need to go check that out. And of course, sadly, Don Davis passed away in 2008. So he couldn't be in this episode, but I'm sure he would have been. So yeah, we did a live stream. It was a surprise episode. We were actually going to watch an episode we were doing with Damn Fine TV. Back in August of 2021, and Tyler surprised us and just pulled up Dual Spires and we watched it. It was my second time seeing it because Tyler and I actually watched it at his house for whatever reason a long time ago. I'd never seen it either, but it was your first time, right, Dave, on that live stream?
It was my first time and my only time.
And the only time. I haven't seen it since August.
But what a delight.
Yeah. I will say
it is without a doubt the best episode of Psych.
It has to be. It has to be. It's the only one I want to check out. no, I kind of figured you kind of get the vibe of the show, because I assume a lot of the things, which we'll talk about, there's some things that happen in the show that I just assume happen every episode of Psych. Like, there's the things that James Rodet's character does where he is looking around and, like, finds clues, and it, like, kind of zooms in on it, makes a sound. Like, there's the sound effect that it plays. And I feel like that probably happens every Psych episode. Where he's
that ends every Psych episode. That's kind of the whole that's the whole gimmick.
Yeah. So I sort of just picked up on what I assume are Psych vibes. So
nice.
Yeah.
Lots of Psych vibes. It's very much an episode of Psych. Like, it's a great example of what that is. And it marries so well into the vibe of Twin Peaks. It's really self-referential. It's it's meta, where they talk about the fact that the town is weird. They talk about, like, the fact that there's only cell phone reception and a few square feet of land.
Like, one square foot.
Yeah. You move one foot, you're done.
And they just really put the whole idea of the weirdness of a town like Twin Peaks under a microscope and under. Kind of through the lens of a normal person. Mm-hmm. Kind of the way that I've always said that I felt like there were characters in Twin Peaks who did not belong in that world, that were too normal for it. And everybody else kind of accepts the almost magical realism of things just as everyday life. They just kind of take it for granted. But nobody is there that's a quote unquote normal person who says, you know, you're all acting insane right now. Like, this is not what people do. Nobody does that in Twin Peaks, but they kind of put a pin on that in Psych, and it's very, very funny.
Yeah, because who needs cell phones and the internet? You know, it's much simpler that way.
We don't have the internet here.
By the way, I just want to say Lenny Van Dolan absolutely kills it. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, I've just found him very entertaining here, more entertaining than Harold Smith. However, huge missed opportunity for him not to yell at the detectives at some point and just say, are you looking for secrets? Because they were. Mm-hmm. They were.
Yeah.
It was a missed opportunity. There's so many lines and little references. Yeah, and some, there was some website when I was doing the research that said there were like 600 references to the show, and I was like, that can't be possible. And if it was, then why wouldn't he have said, are you looking for secrets? Just throw one more in there. So
I don't know how this works in media, but can you just directly, like, say your thing if you had a line in another show? And then you go to another show, and it's not a coincidence. Like, it's very obviously you're doing that thing. Are there, like, rights that have to be signed off? Or because, like, everything else is, I guess, falls under the parody law or whatever. But can you be that actor and say that line as a direct reference to your line from before, and just that's okay?
Surely you can't just copyright a... I mean, unless it's like a very famous quote.
Sure. You know? Like, I know that there are actors who, like, have their thing they do.
Right. Are you looking for secrets is famous to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if Talking Backwards itself was a TV show, and, you know, you've got Tyler who says this famous catchphrase, you know, and that's how you make a bacon pie.
You mean, who the hell is Diane?
Sounds like I got a new one. That is how you make a bacon pie.
See, now that you've said it here, and if this was a TV show, could you then, Tyler Mullins, go on to another TV show, open the door, everybody goes, woo! That's the applause thing, Kramer style. And can you, in that moment, say, that's how you make a bacon pie?
No,
and that's fine, because it's you. That's kind of like, I own that. That's my property.
I don't know.
If, I mean, not if it was written by the writers of the show I first said it on.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's not.
Then probably.
I don't know. Quote law. Somebody look it up. Send it to us.
Let us know.
Reach out.
We'd love to learn more. Talking about your quote liar.
Yeah. Reach out. Let us know. Do we want to get into the plot of the show a little bit?
Let's just
go in. I think everyone knows it.
Everyone knows it, especially Dave, who's seen it one time.
I
want to start off.
I'm ready to dive deep.
Polymerl. I didn't notice this my first watch, and maybe not even the second one, but literally the very first thing you see when the shot opens is a chocolate bunny on his desk.
Mm.
And that's amazing.
I love that.
Is it about the bunny? Well, we're going to be doing doubles for everything if that's the case.
It's just going to be playing on a loop.
Playing in the background. Yeah. I just thought, you know, you're immediately, and even though I didn't catch that the first time, I guess this is a lot like Twin Peaks. It's rewarding me on rewatches. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Sean and Gus are talking. Those are the character names. Sean is played by James Rodet. Gus Guster is his character name. And he's got some good aliases. I guess I'm going to watch this show to find out when he was called Squirts McIntosh.
Ooh.
I'm just
that's rough. Squirts McIntosh.
But he's played by Dule Hill. That's how you say his name, right? Dule? Or is it just Dule? Dule.
Dule.
Dule Spires.
Ooh, Dule Spires. So they get a mysterious email about the cinnamon festival that's happening in the small town of Dule Spires. And when they're zooming in the map, you know, they can't even see it because it's so small. I was already thinking of stuff in The Return when Diane's looking up the coordinates on the phone and is like zooming in and you finally see like Twin Peaks written. It just reminded me of that. So this happens a few times in this episode where I'm reminded of something from The Return. Which is so strange.
That's true.
This was like 5 or 6 this years before.
Seven years.
It's so bizarre because later in the episode, Sean is getting texts with like the library book numbers, and it reminds me of the coordinates with, or just any of Mr. C's texts in The Return. And then there's a really great line. It's from Sean when he's talking to Bobby in the diner. He says,
"We just need a little something to hold us over till showtime, so what's good?"
And it's just like, well, showtime is what The Return aired on. It's so strange, like happy accidents. It's happy accidents, but it's really great. And it's just, it makes this even more fun.
He said talking to Bobby.
Because he plays, it's funny because Bobby Briggs, Dana Ashbrook's character is Bob.
Robert Barker.
He's Bob Barker,
but he's also Barker because he was barking at James in the jail cell.
He's a bark house boy.
So good.
It's so good.
50 levels to everything.
It's very, very cleverly written. Like the references are good, and the show is good.
This episode is so good.
I've seen a lot of Psych. It's been a minute.
Oh, you're talking about the entire show. I see.
Yeah. I'm not a Psych scholar, but I've seen quite a bit, and I had not seen this episode, but I was reminded how good and how smart the series is.
Yeah.
I can't get over how well the whole gimmick works with this premise too. Just like everybody has a secret. And like, can you imagine if this guy was in the actual Twin Peaks universe, if he could just roll up, look around, and just immediately grok that, you know, Leland did it, for example.
Right.
Just go, oh, guys, it's obvious. Look at the guy.
So obvious.
Obvious.
You're talking about a killer with white hair that dances around? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, it's really well done. I think that's why I love it so much. And again, this was my third time watching it, and I found it to be very entertaining. Fun fact, too, the when I was originally watching The Return back in 2017, I was telling our mutual friend of the show here, Matt Davis, that I was watching Twin Peaks. And he was like, oh, you ever seen Psych? Like, no. he's like they've got an episode that's like a tribute to Twin Peaks, and that's all he's ever seen related to. He's never seen Twin Peaks, but he's seen the Psych episode. So very strange how that works.
I didn't realize how many things I'd seen that were referencing Twin Peaks before, and
sounds like so we might need to do an episode on that.
You know, maybe we should.
maybe we should. So anyway, they get an email, a mysterious email, from someone at underthenail.com. There's another reference for you.
Underthenail.com.
We tried to go there. It does not exist. I was a little bit
sad. I wonder if it did at one time.
Yeah. I mean, it may have. But yeah, they... Gus wants to check with Sean to see if his schedule's free so they can go to this town and check it out. And he says he's free till the next WrestleMania. So
I do like that one of the emails has the header jerk with multiple exclamation points. Like, what is that? What's that one about?
Yeah.
Very good.
It's a good question. But yeah, there's an attachment on the email about the Cinnamon Festival, and the newspaper is called The Great Northern.
Of course
it is. Yeah. So they go back and forth about a bunch of other California newspapers. So I guess this town, Dual Spires, it's in California and not in Washington. So they head to Dual Spires. They're already getting strange vibes. Everybody's looking at them funny, and all Gus wants is some monkey bread, apparently.
There's this guy.
Tell me about him.
When they're walking into like the festival area, and there's this like crazy old lady, and then this guy like standing next to her, and I swear that's supposed to be Dunk Jangle.
Really? They got Dunk Jangle for this?
I just am getting some Dunk vibes from this guy. And then you've got this like guy with a handlebar mustache, white hair, old, looks kind of like Pete. I don't know.
Also, the population on the sign is what Twin Peaks population should be.
Yes,
that's what I was about to bring up, is that the sign is much more accurate.
Yeah,
that first shot when they're walking into the town too is so strange, because there's just like this, well, a lot of people are staring at them, but the first scene is just this woman just staring right into the camera, and it's really unsettling.
It's upsetting, really unsettling. But I think it does set up very, very well.
Yeah,
just how weird everyone's gonna be. She's got her monkey bread.
Yep.
At least she's so happy.
Right.
She doesn't look sinister.
Right.
But it's, so they, she's looking right into your soul.
Yeah. They immediately, the first place they go to is the Sawmill Diner. So there's another reference to check off your list. Mm-hmm. And so it's great because Bobby Briggs or Bob Barker.
We gotta back up.
Oh, we gotta back up
when they're walking in.
See, this is why I don't lead.
And they're having a little chat back and forth. And what's his name? Sean.
Yeah, Sean.
Sean and Gus.
Sean and Gus. Sean and Gus.
Sean says, like, you're probably the first black person they've ever seen, or whatever. This little girl rolls Frederick up on Douglas? A bike, and she's like,
"Yeah,
hey, mister, are you Frederick Douglass?" And it's like, what
is that? Yeah, I know.
Going on?
I know, it's really weird. I don't like that very much.
Never okay to do.
No.
Not even.
And then immediately after that, they go to the sawmill.
Another great reference we missed too was the silent window shade systems in the opening scene.
Oh, yeah.
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 There's just it's like references on top of references. You blink, you miss it.
If speaking of blinking and you miss it, I do want to roll it back
We're gonna probably be doing this a lot.
yeah, that's fine.
Quite a bit. I want to roll back to the very opening shot of the town with the first time you see somebody on a bike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's a guy coming in from the top right of the screen from an overhead shot that it is Bob.
It's Bob.
It's a guy in a denim jacket with long white hair, just strolling through, having the time of his life.
Yeah.
It's 100% that's Bob.
I mean, I feel like they went through the trouble of like having all these background people like
for you to
representing other characters from Twin Peaks. Like, even if they're not important or have no dialogue, it's like every scene has something else other than what you're looking at.
I mean, it just with what we've seen already, I know
I'm gonna go back and watch
this episode 30 times.
Yeah.
And I will. It's so much more jam-packed than I thought just in the opening 2 minutes. Just getting to this guy on the bicycle is in the first 2 minutes. There's already so much more. But the diner is similar. It didn't really go out of their way to make a copy of the double R, but it definitely has the same vibe to it. Like they're famous for they've got monkey bread, they got cider.
They treat
the pie throughout the episode like it is so damn good. Like they can't get enough of it like they order like 7 or 8 slices and then get more slices to go.
Yeah.
Mm. Also, we got Lana working the diner.
Yeah.
Black Widow.
The Black Widow herself. Robin Lively.
Yeah. And her character is Michelle, I believe. And I just thought maybe the shell, maybe I'm looking too much like Shelly.
Oh, I thought he called her Shelly at some point.
Oh, did he? I just thought he called her Shell, maybe. Or
maybe
Michelle.
He did. It was just so soft. I was like, does he say Shelly? Like, that's weird.
I think her character is Michelle.
Okay.
Yeah, she is credited as Michelle.
But that's close enough. So that, I mean,
yeah,
that works. Yeah. There was a weird moment because the sheriff comes in and he like shares a weird glance with her. And I thought that was going to kind of lead to something more, but it didn't. Unless I missed it. They like share, they clearly share a look like back and forth. She looks at him like they specifically cut to her and then to him. And then it's just like never brought up again.
The sheriff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do it a couple of times. And
it's very strange.
I'm just gonna take it as a knowing glance between two lesser characters in the Twin Peaks verse.
Yes. I guess so. Yeah.
Game recognized game, as they say.
Another return reference. When they walk into the diner, my ears perked up, caught it immediately. It's the "I love how you love me," which plays in the return. It's cool.
Hey, top of the morning to you, boys.
In the scene with Becky outside the diner when she's in the car looking up. I love how you love me. The Pear Sisters song. And that's playing in the diner here.
Very good. Something I never would have caught.
Yeah, my ears, like immediately I heard it, I was like, oh, wow.
Guys, serious question.
Did David Lynch and Mark Frost watch this and this is what made them return to Twin Peaks? The answer is yes.
That. But also, what is monkey bread?
What?
What is monkey bread?
My knowledge of monkey bread is not what they portrayed on the show, because what they show looks like just a loaf
it's
of bread.
It's just a loaf of bread.
Like
it's
like
not
a full
monkey
loaf of bread and a.
But in my mind, I feel like monkey bread is like the pull apart bread.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, what they show that he's holding is not monkey bread. Yeah. I don't know why they said that and got away with it.
Right. Like, how hard is it to just? I mean, you're making a loaf of bread. Just make some monkey bread.
Yeah,
it's good, Dave. You need to have it. It's just
is it like banana bread?
No, but I see how you can get there.
It's a short walk from monkey to banana.
It is.
Can't catch a monkey without a banana, it seems like. It's their favorite thing. Okay. Well, I'm going to have to find it. You know what? Maybe our next time together, we'll share some monkey bread.
Great. Yeah. You can make that and some
black I'm not gonna make it.
Sucker punches.
Ooh. Yeah, we still got to do that.
Maybe on the Yukon Sucker Punch.
Yeah. All right. All right.
Anything else in the diner before we head back out for the festival?
Did we mention the introduction of Lenny Van Dolin in the scene?
I guess we didn't. We did talk about him a little bit, but man, what a guy he is.
I think he's Andrew Jackson.
Yeah. And a good play on.
I got beef.
Oh, Tyler's got beef.
I got beef.
You beefing with my namesake?
Why? Why would they choose Andrew Jackson? There's so many other presidents.
It's fair to beef with my namesake.
A red herring there
I'll walk back the beefing.
It's
showing that he's going to turn later in the episode, or like eventually be the villain.
Maybe
it's a little it's a little.
I mean this.
Yeah, tease.
It's just weird.
Yeah. I think that's probably it's a choice. I mean, if I had to guess. Yeah.
It is a choice. I'm not gonna go into the depths of Andrew Jackson's past.
We'll do a bonus episode.
Killed Charles Dickens. But whatever.
As a descendant and as the representative that is present, let me apologize for the act. Of President Andrew Jackson.
Thank you, Dave.
Formally here.
Thank you, Dave.
Yes. It means a lot.
So, yeah, Gus and Sean get introduced to the sheriff. It's rare to get visitors here. It's rare. Don't get many tourists in Duel Spires. I just Duel like, Spires. He's got a lot of great lines that are my,
really
probably
my I mean,
damn fine line of the night.
Between he and Dana Ashbrook.
Yeah.
Like they're definitely stealing the show.
Let's party.
Let's party.
We got a crown of Cinnamon King. There can only be one. but not before we introduce Mayor Douglas Fur, who has
Douglas Fur.
Who has Leo the Cinnamon Owl.
The Cinnamon Owl, Leo.
So they're kind of observing this. They notice a couple of chairs are missing in relation to the population number.
The chairs are there.
Right, I'm sorry. Yeah, some people are missing. Sorry, I did word that wrong. So, I'm a wordsman.
I'm wondering, and maybe I missed it, but the population is 288. That's fine. There's 288 chairs. But why does Sean say, like, what's 12 times 24? What made him ask that to get to the number 288, which is the population size?
Maybe just the way the chairs are laid out, it was a way to do quick math instead of counting each individual chair.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That works. I just didn't know where he got those numbers. I was like, what the hell?
See,
it seems like just a shoehorned math problem to get to the number 288.
Yeah.
See, I would have looked to my partner and said, count these chairs.
One at
and
a
then
time.
Waited.
Yeah.
You bitch.
But I like that it's, you know, the football star.
Yeah.
Character.
Who's it gonna be?
who?
I love that, like, it's this long running thing that the town does.
Yeah,
it's just so weird.
Ow,
also getting some like barbershop quartet vibes from the trio of musicians on the stage.
Yeah,
just old guys in coats with red.
Yeah. Too bad we couldn't have somebody come up and say, that reminds me, ow, you're sleeping.
Ooh.
They go and notice the chair missing by Bob and Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle. And it's great because Sean introduces Gus as Lodge Blackman.
Lodge Blackman.
Lodge Blackman.
Which
I...
I just...
I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's a pun, you see.
Yeah,
I get. Yeah. I understand okay. that.
If I have to explain it to you, I will.
Thank you.
I kind of thought that Randy Jackson, which is the football player's name, was
the bassist.
I thought he was kind. Well, no, I thought he was gonna just the way he acts. He's like he's clearly like a Bobby character, but he also has some James qualities to me. But then you have this other guy roll up who I guess is supposed to sort of be the James, the guy on the back, yeah. Jack.
I don't remember. Jack.
I think it's Jack.
Yeah. Oh, Jack.
Which is like, yeah.
Let's not gloss over the fact that we just found out that the Barker's niece, Paula Merle, is missing.
Paula Merle, the Laura Palmer anagram. Who killed Paula Merle?
The captions when he introduces him as Lodge Blackman. Blackman is Blackmunn.
Yes, to be less offensive.
Sure.
For the readers.
So yeah, they go and find the body washed up on the shore. Very familiar. Very familiar. Yeah, wrapped
Jay,
in plastic.
Jay rolls up, shaking and swerving shaking, everywhere on his bike.
Yeah, I was like,
you can't ride that thing.
Yeah. Something happened at the lake.
We found out later he's 30%, or he's got 30% of his eyesight left. Right?
Yeah.
Is that how he words it?
Spoiler.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
Spoiler alert. But I do love that Michelle. Like when he says that, Michelle's like, "It's Paula, I know it." Like it's very Sarah and Leland right. like mashup kind of thing,
right?
Yeah, a lot of conflation of characters.
Yes,
you know, just to pack in as many references as possible. Some of these characters do serve as analogs for two or three at a time.
Yeah, that was very Sarah Palmer-esque. Yeah, good catch, Tyler.
It's a very cool instance where we get, a recreation of the iconic unwrapping of the body shot, which is it is wrapped in plastic.
It is she unwrapped. Wasn't beforehand.
Right. He did it like after because he didn't want anyone to see her like that.
Wrapped her up in where did he plastic.
Get? He's got a plastic guy. He's got a guy.
Yeah.
He's got a plastic guy.
Yeah, who does?
He probably didn't see that this piece of plastic had been dragging on his bicycle for like 2 miles.
Yeah,
he's like, oh,
he died to that's the bike a happy and accident. Paraglided.
Yeah,
caught an updraft,
and it's really great too because you get the close up on her face like you do in the pilot, and then you immediately cut to Cheryl Lee, who plays
Cheryl Lee does the unwrapping.
Yeah, that's cool.
I bet that was such a fun experience for her.
She's like, I've done this before.
Yeah,
this time I'm not dead.
Right,
I get to act.
So her character name is Donna Gooden.
Ooh. So.
Donna!
There we go.
There it is.
Yeah, this is where we're also introduced to the hawk, which I just don't know why it would have been really great if we could have just gotten Hawk to be Hawk. Like here, I think that would have been really funny if he was just his same character. Could have gotten Michael Horse to just come in and be Hawk. Yeah. I think that would have been great.
That would have been so good.
Just same character name, just everything about
again,
it.
Again,
but he's Deputy Frost. Right. I don't, that's true. And he's Deputy Frost, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So Mark Frost.
Once again, Dane Ashbrook slaying the scene.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the character of Andy split between Gus and Jack.
Right. Because
they're both crying. And then Jack he's like got the camera and he's crying. And then Gus as the, I guess a detective, like is crying. Yeah. So it was just like this weird mashing up of characters, but then also like division of characters. It's so weird.
Well, Robin Lively shells the
fusion and fission. How about that?
There you go.
Yeah.
Robin Lively kills the scream too when they're walking to the body with like the no, just like over the top. It's great.
I bet it was fun for these actors to come back into this sort of universe, this sort of vibe, and just really go for it. Like it just really got turned loose.
Oh yeah.
You know David Lynch didn't direct this thing, so
he did not.
They're getting to just really go off leash.
I wonder how much they relied on their, like the actors from Twin Peaks, like their experience and knowledge of everything. Be like, all right, here's your lines, but like, just kind of do what you think would happen, or, you know, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's still very much an episode of Psych. So it still has that.
I'll take your word for
that energy to it. But I would imagine to capture the honest vibe of Twin Peaks to really make this work, that they would have said, like, you know, it would be great here. I would not be surprised at all if they had a bit of
a long camera shot of a phone cord.
Yeah.
Because the people, turns out people are fine with their landlines.
You gotta have donuts. Like, you gotta have shots of donuts.
Gotta have shots of donuts.
A static shot of donuts.
It's much simpler.
It's gotta be in there.
It's much simpler that way. So Sean's phone goes off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's another email from me at underthenail.com.
Me.
It's just gibberish.
Who killed Paula Merle?
The big question.
It's a whodunit.
Yeah, and I'll tell you who done it later in this episode.
Oh, great. Mm.
Julie Cruz.
Yes. Julie Cruz.
They got her to do the Psych theme in the style of Angelo Badalamenti's Falling Badalamenti. With Her. It's very well done. I love everything about it.
Unironically... rules.
You got the shot of the bird, shot of the water, you got the white horse. It's
You've got Sean doing upside down sit-ups things, whatever they're called.
Yeah, that's true.
In the gravity boots.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good.
A lot of this makes me miss like older episodes of Twin Peaks. Like
just, season one.
Yeah.
Season
one. Like little things you forget about, like the hanging upside down.
Maybe we should go back and watch it sometime.
Before we do the Ike the Spike series.
Oh yeah, we got to do that.
Our 10-part series on Ike,
on Ike the Spike.
Wait, coming that's not soon. A bad idea. Some 10 episodes 10 on minute individual episodes. Characters is a good idea.
Well, yeah, we kind of teased like 10 of them in our recap episode. Yeah. The Bill Hastings special coming soon. And Dave's like making a lot of promises. Dave's like getting real nervous every time I'm like, and here's our Wally Brando's.
Golly, we could do 5 hours on that 10 minute monologue.
Yeah, we could, and we would, and we will.
We're back at the shoreline. Andrew Jackson and Bob Barkhouse Barker are
Bobby Bark
chatting about Paula, and Andrew Jackson's like, I can't call them their character names.
Right. Just, you can just call them
Dana Ashbrook is like
or their actor name, it's fine.
He's like, oh, she must have snuck out last night. And Lenny's like, yeah, we all know she was sneaking out every night since she got here. Like, get with it. And here we go to my damn fine line. We got a Deputy Frost rolling up on a rickshaw.
Yeah.
Gets
in a bicycle rickshaw,
kneels down, touches the ground.
The earth is soft and moist.
That's
genius.
That's it.
Thank you, Frost.
Doesn't come up again. Doesn't mean a thing.
It means everything.
Just an observation.
I think it means everything.
Means everything. So then Sean gets another email. This is the.
This library. Is the gibberish.
Yeah, this is the gibberish Dewey Decimal System.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
See, this is why I'm not a detective, because I would have not picked up on that.
Yeah.
So this is something I can't decode.
He didn't until he got to the library, I would guess.
To the library. Mm. Yeah.
He probably thought the same thing as you.
You're
talking gibberish.
I can't remember the last time I was in a library.
I go to mine pretty often with the boys.
I go every night.
Okay, I actually do.
Taking correspondence classes. I gotta get a business degree to be a good leader.
The boys love going to the library and looking at books.
Oh, just quick story. I do remember one time I went to the library with my mom and my brother, and they would loan movies. You could actually rent movies from the library. Yeah. And I rented A Clockwork Orange. And I watched it. I watched it that night. Yeah, and it immediately regretted it.
Oh, yeah.
Not because it's a bad movie, but
no, what's with you taking movies home and regretting them? This is a running theme with you, Dave.
Now, what are you going to do?
Racerhead, Tim Robbins. What?
Sometimes you mistake the actor on the box for somebody else. Yep. Sometimes you've heard good things or you've heard a lot about a thing. Yeah. And it traumatizes you.
It sure does. Let's take a trip over to the doctor's office.
Let's go.
Donna Gooden, MD. General practice, psychiatry, pediatrics, optometry, gastrology, podiatry, dermatology, orthodontics, forensics, veterinary medicine, Esquire.
Esquire. That's my favorite part at the end is Esquire.
So she's
well-rounded.
Got all areas of medicine covered, human and animal, and the law. Perfect.
And the law.
We learn real quick about the animal because we've got Waldo.
Yes.
Yep.
Waldo's here in the flesh.
Waldo's here. Yeah.
That's a pretty great.
Gus cuts in front of Waldo. Reference.
Yeah.
Did they get the same bird?
I think it is the same bird.
Is it the same actor?
Yes.
It is not that. Waldo
did.
Can
you do that? Bird law. Look it up.
Yeah.
Bird law. Mm. Yeah.
So, casting law, bird law.
Probably a Lydecker reference somewhere in here. I just haven't caught it yet.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're under the guise of Gus has tummy issues from all the monkey bread.
Yep, too much monkey bread.
Just nothing but cinnamon and monkey bread. You think these people would be constantly sick? Because this is just a direct injection of sweets all the time.
All the time.
Like all these desserts, gotta be rough.
Yeah.
You got to have a well-rounded doctor when everyone's gastrointestinal systems are just cut to ribbons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, they start kind of questioning Donna. And,
Donna.
You know, she says that, you know, maybe Paula Merle killed herself. I think she.
But not before putting a hilarious amount of lube on a glove.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Sean does a good job, too, of, you know, saying, you know, suggesting that she was murdered. And she's immediately like, oh, wait, what? Like, where did you hear that? may immediately be like, oh, she's a suspect. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have reacted that way.
Yeah, you get a lot more tells from people in this episode of television than you do in the entirety of Twin Peaks.
Oh,
I guess, right. One, because you have an hour.
Yeah, you got to wrap this up real quick.
Yeah, but two, again, like the mystery is a little more on the nose and a little more present. I guess you do have to kind of throw people for a loop where you can too, because if you're a fan of Twin Peaks, then you have some preconceptions about, you know, who the killer is going to be, how it's going to play out. And the episode does not do that. It actually does a good job of misdirecting and laying some red herrings, but also showing you who are suspects.
And Sean notices the earring in the evidence tray. It's out
the earring,
which he the one earring that he remembers seeing on Randy. So that's a similar to the heart necklace.
Yes, that kind of wraps up.
Yeah, Gus feels better.
The doctor visit, get a nice little long lady action.
I loved this so much.
Yeah,
what a great cameo! It's great, yeah, because she just comes out holding the log, and they're like, surely there's not a log lady here, as if that's like something they would know from whatever. And then, yeah, she kind of lays puts it down, and it's very funny. It's just a very funny little quick scene.
I like that as we get Randy Jackson on a bike, we get a kind of 1-2 punch audio cue.
Oh, yeah. Little Chet Desmond action.
Little Chet Desmond, little Chris Isaac.
Got a Chris Isaac. Maybe did a bad thing. That's
Baby
great.
Did a bad thing.
I love
like that.
I love that.
One, it's Chris Isaac, and two, it does kind of have some a real indication vibes.
It kind of does. Yeah, When the song ended, I was like,
that was swinging, man.
Really laying it on for him.
Third, that thing you do reference for people keeping track at home.
We got it. We got you covered. Yep. Yeah, no, right before the song kicks in, and they hop on the bikes, there's, again, a white horse in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just walking away. But during the bike chase, Randy is riding his bike across a
bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Ronette's bridge?
Not unlike Ronette's bridge. A little smaller.
Yeah. A little bit smaller, I was going to say, yeah. But still, that's what you think of. You're sitting here watching it, and just everything is going through your head, Twin Peaks. So you're basically making, even if it's not, you're making a reference regardless.
Yeah.
If that was intentional or not, you're like, yeah, there's a bridge. That's Ronette's bridge.
That's Ronette's bridge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little Ronnie Pulaski.
Little Ronnie Pulaski?
You can't not make the connection.
Yeah.
You can't.
So they follow him to his house, and Sheriff Jackson answers the door. They were a little surprised. Then they finally get up to speed and realize that's his father.
Yep. Didn't expect to see you here. I live here. What do you mean?
A Jackson for a Jackson.
Yeah.
What a twist.
Man.
That's, we get, you know, a living room very similar to the Hayward residence to me. Hmm. Okay. Yeah, we get a great shot of a fan.
Oh yeah,
we go upstairs. Randy D. Jackson is throwing darts. He's terrible at it,
except for when he's not.
Until he's not. Yeah,
yeah.
It's very funny. He's like, I hardly knew Paula. Full mess, just into the wall.
So I got more return vibes here, where he was just like, "We were gonna see the world together," and it's just like, "We were gonna go scuba diving." I was like,
man,
little Bill Hastings in there
for this episode.
Dang.
Before he was cast in Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
For sure that Lynch and Frost watched this.
Yeah. I just wanted to have a lot of work.
Yeah.
I just want more Matthew Lillard in my life.
So he lets him know he was at the library, which leads them to the library where we see our second fan. There were two fans.
She's had two visions.
And we got three fans of another actress.
That's right.
From Twin Peaks.
Tyler, who is it?
Man. I don't even remember what her name is.
Maudette Hornsby.
Maudette Hornsby. Yes. Looking fine as ever.
Oh, yeah. I like how Gus is also just kind of into her in this episode, too. It's very funny. Later when he's right, I know, but it's just really funny, some of the comments. Two things with here, it's almost like a double into a triple for me anyway, was she's drinking a cherry Coke, which reminded me of the cherry stem scene with her, where she, you remember, we can play it real quick. You've been there.
Yeah, put it here.
Two, it reminded me of Madeline's cherry Coke that she didn't drink, that she ordered at the
Madeline.
Yeah, Maddie. Sorry, Maddie. Madeline. Sorry.
Maddie.
I've got M names on the brain.
And Maddie then there's Maddie.
Did you say Maddie and Maddie?
I'm glad we finally get some resolution on the cherry Coke.
Yes.
Finally gets taken in.
When she's shh. And Gus is like, it's just us and you. I was like, oh, just you and I.
Oh,
thank you.
See,
if only they had said just you and us,
that would have been good.
It would have been amazing.
Wonder if there's any relation with Maudette to Bruce Hornsby. So this is where they connect to the Dewey Decimal System.
Yes.
She sees, and she's like, oh, can we take a look around?
I don't know if it's anything, but she does say something about having stepped in to fill a role.
Oh yeah, like that she knew Randy pretty well.
The mother role.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mother Maudette. So yeah, they go and take a look at some books, and the book that they find that is the number from the text message is written by Earl Wyndham.
Earl Wyndham.
Dave's favorite reference.
More subtle than that.
I don't know if it's my favorite. Some of these are they could have been more creative.
I wish a
little too on the nose. Some are very good.
It does show a person on the back, and I wish it was the actor. It's not. Oh, I don't think
it would have been great.
I didn't look like him anyway. I was like, oh, that would have been really funny.
Yeah.
Oh well. Maudette really startles me too when they cut and she's like staring at them through the book hole.
The book hole, babe.
The Hornsby hole.
The book hole, babe. Yeah, the horny hidey.
The Hornsby hide hole.
Hornsby hidey hole. The Triple H.
The Triple H. Time to play the game.
Now the author on the back of the book looks more like Carol Stroykin than it does Wendell Merle.
Just one of his costumes.
Yep.
So they get a call, or they call their office back in wherever. Yep. Psych World.
Yep.
And
Santa Barbara.
Or Santa Barbara.
Psych World. For psychics by psychics.
Yeah. Hell yeah. And they find out that Paula Merle drowned here in
7 years
Santa
ago.
Barbara 7 years ago.
WTF.
What?
Twist.
He's been dead for 10 years.
Yeah, 7 years ago.
Yeah. So what's that about, guys? Who wants some waiter action?
Now, this is my favorite reference.
Yes.
He's just staring. Big thumbs up.
Is that the same guy that played the mayor or no? Earlier in the episode? I just kind of thought this was the mayor.
I don't think it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, just a creepy old man giving a thumbs up.
Yep. Just hanging out.
Yeah.
I've heard about you.
I wanted there to be more waiter.
I wanted him to go references. For one of them to order some milk and him to just come by and say, that milk will get cold on you.
Yeah.
And just leave. Just throw in one more quick reference. By the way, speaking of all the references, this is I think 7 or 8 minutes longer than the like episode as it aired. Like if you're looking at it on Peacock or Netflix or whatever, the runtime is longer than every other episode of Psych. It did like air that way the first time it aired, but in all the reruns it was shorter. So luckily all the streaming services have like the extended cut. So I've only ever seen this extended version. I don't know what was actually cut in the reruns, but
250 references.
Correct. 253 references. Yeah.
Aha. The number of completion.
Yeah, so they realize that Robert Bob staged her death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that other dude's just like, you're gonna be arrested once I go fill out my paperwork or whatever. I'm gonna go do this very important. So get out of here, dude. You don't arrest Dana Ashbrook.
Let's not gloss over the fact that there's a moose head just laying on
the table. Notice that. Yeah. Another just subtle, great reference. Fantastic.
So many things just in the background, just for the fans. This whole episode is fan service, obviously.
Yeah.
That one's very good.
Yeah.
So nobody explaining it like, oh, it fell.
Gus and Sean take a peek around Laura's bedroom to find secrets. Nothing under the bed, but they eventually accidentally knock down.
There is a teddy bear with a full-on noose sitting on a shelf.
So it accidentally gets knocked over, and they realize there's a secret diary.
Paula's secret diary.
But there's some secrets.
Is this
in
a reference to Harold's hanging? Since he had the secret diary.
Maybe, but there is a reference. There's a triple to that then, because Maudette is hanging. She's hung like Harold. Is that right?
Hanging high.
Yeah, hanging high.
Hung up and hanging high.
Yeah. Two references there. But yeah, they realize some of that is written in Latin and they know just who to call. I mean, who wouldn't you call?
Like, is this Chinese? It's clearly not Chinese.
They call Father Peter Wesley, played by Ray Wise, who I need to take a quick note. In my research on this episode, this is Ray Wise's second appearance in Psych as this character. That's why they called him and knew him. Wow. Yeah, so he was in season 4, episode 4, titled The Devil is in the Details and the Upstairs Bedroom, which is interesting because they're in an upstairs bedroom when they figure out they need to call him, which is very strange. That's all I think he's just in those two episodes, but it's the same character. So yeah, he comes back again, playing into James Roday being a big fan of Twin Peaks, having Twin Peaks actors already in Psych. So it's very cool. It's very, very cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what a coincidence, but was he planning to do this the whole time?
Well, so, I mean, I did read that since season one, they had been trying to do a Twin Peaks tribute episode. I guess it just took a long time to come to fruition. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got to make sure the show has traction.
Correct. Yeah.
This is a big play. This is a big swing. And I think they knock it out of the park. Again, I love the square foot of cell service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One single spot.
I mean, the biggest thing of note here is
it really is just this one spot.
Yeah.
When they're on the phone with him, because he's, you know, transcribing for them, he just says that she was going to meet someone whose first initial is J. So we've heard that.
Meeting before. J tonight.
Yep.
Yeah.
But then he's trying to tell more, and Sean loses the service.
Yep.
And there's more for him to tell, and he doesn't get to hear it. So.
Why would you take a step?
Yeah, why would you move? Yeah.
You already know. You know where you stand to get the service? Don't move.
So yeah, he thinks that the J stands for Jack.
Jack. What did Jack do?
What did Jack do?
He took some pictures.
Yeah.
Going back to the library. Now we
find out Maudette likes to dance all night long.
They want to know if she'll be his date to the Betty Boop night at the Roadhouse.
Betty Boop.
The Road. Betty Briggs? Maybe?
I don't think Briggs. So.
Are they going at 9:30?
Mm-hmm.
4:30.
Perhaps?
Maybe. 4:30. They're meeting at the diner at 4:30.
Yeah, they get a yearbook to go through, and there's lots of pictures of Paula Merle.
Paula Merle.
Paula Merle. Muddit does make a comment that she loved the attention. And seems a little bitter about it, casting a little shade on this character as a possible suspect. And it's not unlike Laura Palmer, who didn't necessarily live for the attention, but more for the feeling of importance. And again, I'm trying not to say need for attention, because it's not that. It's not the definition that I believe about Laura Palmer. I think it's a feeling of importance, like being on a pedestal, like being not even for the celebrity, but for like the sense of self importance.
Yeah,
like I know what you're trying to say.
Validation, sort of. Maybe because there are eyes on you, but. Well, maybe to even feel like she exists.
I was gonna say she was homecoming queen too, based off the picture later.
Because if there are pictures of you, and if people are talking about you, then you're real. Like you're in this thing.
Oh, she's
like
real.
I forget sometimes that I exist. That like I'm a person that interacts with people, and that's wild to me.
Yeah.
And
I love interacting with you, Dave.
Hey, I love interacting with you.
Hey, thanks, man.
I think that's the difference between Laura Palmer and the Paula Merle character. Like if that is what was going on, if she was
Laura Paula Merle
after the attention, it wasn't, the nuances weren't the same. Like that character is not as deep. I don't know what this tangent was.
So
look, guys, I just talk.
Laura Paula Merle.
I love tangent. It.
I do too. Dave, you're
La Palma.
Can you speak
Palmer?
Thanks.
We hear for you.
I hear to say they do catch a picture of Jack in the yearbook as well.
Yes.
And there is something about that picture that makes them decide they need to go talk to him. Maybe just because he's holding the camera.
Well, the picture they look at beforehand, the signature at the bottom corner of the picture is JS. And then they see his picture of him with the camera, and then his credit at the bottom is Jack Sucks or something. JS.
Jack Sucksman.
Yeah, so they go to
they go to see him and immediately get blinded.
Yeah,
it's very, I don't know. Gosh. I did get some like Leo Shelley Johnson vibes for his house. It's just like shit.
Okay.
And that's it. Like that's a reach for me, but it's just whatever.
Sure.
It's got kind of a rundown vibe to it. It seems like it could be a little under construction.
Yeah. He's also blind.
Well, he has 30% vision in one of his eyes.
They go back and develop some pictures, and they see a little Randy Jackson in the background. One of the photos.
The little Randy Jackson?
Yeah.
I'd say he's got himself a little photo house.
He does have a photo. The whole house is just
photos. The entire house is just wallpapered with photos. Yeah. And it's big. This is a big place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is some like Harold vibes as well.
He's definitely giving off heavy Harold vibes in the scene. Just even with some of the delivery of the lines. I still have 30% vision in my left eye.
I grew up in books.
Would you like some saltines?
I grew up in pictures.
Golly.
Would you like to wash your feet?
Speaking of Randy.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah.
That's true. Juliet, is that the character name? That they work with? Which I guess and Sean work with?
Yes, Juliet.
Juliet.
Yeah. The Alicia Silverstone lookalike.
Yes, Juliet.
Are not Alicia Silverstone, yes.
Yes.
Right. She heads to Randy's looking for, well, she was looking for Sheriff Jackson, but Randy is there, who's just working on his wood in the backyard.
Yeah, he is.
You want to come watch me work on wood in the backyard, Juliet?
Yeah.
But in my backyard. Work
wood. He's and then cross cutting a 2x4.
2x4? 4x.
How does that make you feel as a woodworker?
He's trash. He's working on a project for shop class or whatever.
Or something.
Yeah. I do love, saying,
put like, a groove in this wood.
I need to go back to like his introduction and him being like the Bobby character. His costuming is just perfect.
Yeah.
With the plaid wrapped around his waist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's
just so
good.
Well, you gotta have that flap it in the wind when you're riding your bike.
Ooh, that's true.
When you get on your bike and go.
Yeah. Well, nothing I love more than a little flapping in the wind.
Oh, we are in the wind.
This scene was a little weird to me though, because it was just he was like really coming across as like gonna kill her with the 100%. Wood. She was gonna like pull the gun on him, and then he is not a suspect at all.
It's just then
why was this happening? I know to make us think that he's the killer, but it's still just overall it was odd to me. It was an odd
it's gay to suspect everybody, I think, but this scene really felt like she was in danger.
Right, yeah.
Because he's given heavy Leo vibes.
And she was about to pull her gun on him. It was very close. And then she's cool with him 2 seconds later once Sean and Gus are there. It's just all fine.
She was about to put this guy down.
Yeah, that whole thing was strange to me.
Yeah, that looked like it was about to play out very, very differently.
Yeah. But it didn't.
It didn't. Everything's fine. They go and have some pie.
Have more pie.
Oh, what does he say about, he like flexes about him, he beat up Jack by hitting him with his elbow and he crumbled like feta. That was really good imagery. Yeah. Gave him a super elbow and he crumbled like feta.
Jeez.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Like this is when
this is when Sean too is getting upset nobody's getting his like TV and movie references, because he mentions General Hospital.
Yeah.
And then he brings up that they have like Friday night movie nights or something like that, like in the town. And they watch this show. Was it called Everwood?
Reruns of Everwood. Yep.
And that's a real show.
Every Thursday night
on WB. And I had never heard of that show. I didn't realize that was a real thing. So I wondered if because then Sean is aware of the show and starts referencing plots to the show, which makes me laugh because the dude playing Randy, his facial expressions are hilarious. Where he's just like, he's just like thinking about it. He's like,
yeah, really gets to him.
Yeah, really gets to him, making the references to that show. So I was like, are those actual story? I guess they're actual storylines.
They've got to be.
The show, yeah. So that made me laugh a lot. That was just very funny. So yeah, back to the sawmill for some more pie, putting it together, the Randy and Maudette situation, which leads them back to the library where Maudette is hanging around.
Just hanging out. Yeah, just hanging around.
Yeah, Randy does mention that he has an alibi because he spends so much time with his girlfriend. Doesn't name who it is.
Yeah.
But me personally, I immediately go to the hot librarian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you do.
But she is unfortunately no more. R.I.P. Maudette.
R.I.P. Maudette.
We hardly knew ye.
Hardly knew ye. On my first watch of this episode.
And
the only watch. I really thought that she was going to be like a big player. Like she might even be the culprit.
Yeah.
At episode's end, but no. I mean, we kind of gave it away earlier, but they go back to the library. She's hung up and hanging high.
She's dead.
She is. Yeah.
This has to be referential to the height
for Harold.
Harold. I just blanked on the name completely.
Mm-hmm.
Like you,
I think so too.
But you see that she actually is physically hung from a noose, which is more graphic than I expected.
Yeah.
I think the teddy bear did it.
Teddy bear?
Want to be your
was the teddy bear a foreshadow?
Foreshadowing.
For those of you who
whatever
don't
that means.
Know.
Those of you who don't know about foreshadowing.
Yes.
If you want to get that joke, go back and listen to previous episodes of Talking Backwards. Start at the beginning.
Yeah. Listen to all of them. It's in there somewhere.
You'll come across it. Can't miss it.
Yes.
So they're standing outside with the sheriff and Donna. Donna Gooden.
Donna Gooden.
Talking about
he's a good one.
The tragic death that has happened, and of course Randy is witnessing this from afar, and I think this might be my damn fine line here.
I better speak to my boy.
He's just like very intense. Better go speak to my boy. I don't know why it just killed me. Just like this guy.
He goes home and rakes his face for hooking up with the librarian.
Oh, see, that would have been a good reference if we had a rake face happening somewhere in here.
Yeah.
Teach him the ultimate secret.
Yeah, the ultimate rank. So they immediately notice there is some internet in this town.
Pretty sure they have an Ethernet.
More complicated that way.
Yes, life
pushing its limits.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure it's far beyond the whatever 300 feet.
Yeah.
And I saw no
long.
There's just an intricate network of tunnels underneath the town that runs fiber from one end to the other.
Ridiculous.
So they leads them to sending the emails.
A laptop. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
And then
not me. Well, I was gonna say, and then it wouldn't be a Twin Peaks homage without a little fire.
A little fire. Or without a hunchback person coming in.
Good luck, honey.
good luck, honey.
This also might be my favorite part when we get Ray Wise with his hair turned white. That is so great.
Oh, yeah, it was an ill-advised attempt to cover up some gray that went terribly awry.
Ray Wise, like, just so good. He's so good. Should throw all the Emmys at him for this. Why not?
Yeah, I don't know why there's not just a machine, like one of those baseball pitchers. That's just
throwing Emmys at Ray Wise.
loaded with multiple media awards.
Yeah.
Just constantly being fired at his face.
Yeah. God, he's so good. He is so good.
Yeah. I'll take all the Ray Wise I can get. Like, use whatever explanation you need. Just put him in there.
Yeah. But no, I was thinking that too in this scene. You know, you mentioned earlier how cool or how fun this probably was for all the Twin Peaks actors. I was thinking about this too when Dane Ashbrook rolled up in the Jeep and was like sitting there with in the front seat, you know, with Ray Wise. I was just like, oh my God, they're probably having like the time of their life, like filming yeah. this episode. And even at the, you know, at the end here at the cabin when they're all in there too, I'm just like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
It's just cool to see them all sharing the screen again.
Yeah, it is. And we get the painting of Baron Barker.
Yeah, that was great. So we got another cab
behind the scenes of some of these shots. Like I want to see this cast hanging out.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like this is a little
reunion,
guys.
Yeah, yes. Keep going. Yes. Yes.
It's a little Twin Peaks hang sesh.
I mean, yeah. it's extremely possible there's something like this on the Sykes season 5 DVD bonus features. It's I'm extremely possible. So we got another cabin in the woods here. The Jacques and Leo cabin. Mm-hmm. Or is it just Jacques? I don't know. But yeah.
Wyndham's.
It's Wyndham's a cabin. Share. Yeah. It's a timeshare.
It's their cabin.
It's a fractional ownership property.
February to May. Yeah, lots of fire, lots of
Bob Barker's threatening vibes. I'll have a seat. I'll make a fire. That's just fine acting.
Yeah, very, very good. Dan Ashbrook really does crush this entire episode. Like, he's really serving it up.
Yeah. It bothers me that he's not in more stuff.
Yeah. Right.
Agreed.
But
I feel that way about most of them, honestly. Like most of the Twin Peaks actors, I'm just like, Cheryl Lee, why you should be in like
in so much.
Yeah.
So much.
Well, there's the new, I haven't seen it yet. I think Damn Fine TV was doing a watch of the show that Courtney Cox and Sherilyn Finn are doing. I think it's on FX or something.
Oh yeah.
So that's interesting. And that's sort of even a Friends reunion there when she was on Friends. I don't know if they had any scenes together, though. Tyler, you're the Friends expert on the show.
They did. But I think their dialogue happened offline or off screen.
Gotcha.
So in the cabin, I do like the line that Gus delivers where he says, for a town built on honesty and do-goodness, you all sure do have a lot of skeletons in your closet.
And that's Donna Gooden.
That's
Twin
Peaks encapsulated that line.
Yeah, right.
That line belonged in Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
But instead it's in Psych. We're talking about Psych.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when the sheriff busts in, Ray Wise immediately goes, my hair doesn't normally look like this.
Well, before that.
It's so good. I'm sorry. That scene is so good.
Explain.
Like that's the first. Let me explain.
Nobody I don't said normally anything. Look
like this. My hair doesn't normally look like this.
Maybe that's my damn fine line. I just couldn't get over Lenny Von Dolan's delivery sometimes. Better speak to my boy.
We do have a nice callback to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Get a nice, I guess, what is a Psych zoom shot?
Yeah,
on Bob Barker's ring.
Mm-hmm.
That has a faint resemblance to the owl cave symbol.
Yep.
I really like the connection when he goes, well, the good doctor can't conceive. And then it does the flashback zoom in on her with all her dogs.
Yeah, that was very funny. Yeah. Because I didn't catch that, you know, when he was first in there, but it was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
It was a very good joke.
Yeah. Even she, like her reaction to that's good too.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, oh, you got me.
Yeah, we found out the doctor and the sheriff are complicit.
They are.
Yes.
Yeah, they didn't want Randy to leave town because he needed to
with that stay that and run the Paula.
Town. Evil Paula Merle.
Because the
you shouldn't have come here.
The Goodens and the Jacksons or the Martells and.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the horns.
The horns. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really like when Jack comes in and starts explaining himself. I was like, It's like, yeah, I called the police and I thought something was up, looking nowhere near him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're over here.
Golly.
And then if we're talking about conflating characters, when Jack comes back into the diner, he's in a red suit, dancing yep. around with an eye patch.
The last minute of this is just everything's thrown out the door. They're just saying, let's throw as many references that we can pack in. And it's
chaos.
It's worth many rewatches, because there were, even in the second rewatch at the very, very end, when we did our live stream, I didn't notice Bobby swinging around with the picture of Paula Merle in the background like mm-hmm. Leland does. And I didn't catch that. But he has a couple of references there too, because he's walking backwards, like the Real Indication scene in Fire Walk With Me when he's walking backwards. There's so much happening here, though.
There is. I mean, you've got the layers on Jack of the arm, Nadine, and I guess James all rolled into one.
Yeah. You got Bobby strutting backwards, bussing tables. Yep. There's a guy with a boy, football helmet
like Johnny Horn. Yeah, like Johnny Horn. Yeah.
Somebody barking.
Yeah, that's Randy. He's barking.
Yeah, but he's barking at a dog. So
right, he's actually barking at a dog. Yeah.
The giant.
Yep, the giant's there.
The giant man.
The other detective guy.
That is a damn fine cup of cider.
Yeah. A damn good cup of cider.
Yeah.
Everybody's dreamy dancing.
Yeah.
Nice. Like Sean and Juliet in the booth going.
Yeah, they're reacting how I react. Or how I reacted when I saw it happen in Twin Peaks.
Yeah. The guy too, who said the cider thing, there's a point where it looks solid, like in his cup, like kind of in the red room.
Oh, really?
Like after a minute, yeah. It's like completely solid. Just great. It's just great.
Hey, that's the episode.
Fantastic tribute to Twin Peaks. Just very well done.
I
could have taken a little bit more of that. It would have been great to get more actors, because I'm sure they could have. I mean, I realize there's only so much you can wide do. Net. this could have been a two-parter. If it was already going to be extended,
it could have been a whole season.
Maybe. I don't know. Psych fans, let us know. but I personally loved this. I think it was very funny. I wasn't a Twin Peaks fan when this came on, or because when this aired you only had the first two seasons, but I thought it was a very fitting tribute. It was very funny. Lots of rewards, like I said, on the rewatches. I'm sure there's more for me to pick up if I watch it again, and I'm sure I will someday. Yeah. Because I think this is a very entertaining hour of TV, and again, that's just because I love Twin Peaks. So of course I love it. So
it's a real love letter to Twin Peaks. Like, there's just so much care and attention put into this episode of Psych. That's
care and intention.
I'm blown away by the amount of references they were able to pack in, and seamlessly. Like, if you don't know what you're looking at, like if you don't know Twin Peaks, this is a lot, and it's probably way over your head. There is still a consistent plot arc you can follow, but the intricacies and the weirdness and the references would be completely lost on you. But yep. I mean, that said, there are still lots of really good jokes and just a good narrative that you can follow pretty easily without having Twin Peaks experience. But if you have Twin Peaks experience, it is much more rewarding, and it's for sure very, very satisfying.
I have not much to say. It's just nice. It's refreshing.
Yes.
To be able to step away from Twin Peaks, like the heaviness, the weight of the actual show, and then get the funness of this and still relate to Twin Peaks is nice.
Well said.
Very well said.
That's, not really, but thank you.
Yeah, I think it was said.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of levity to this. That lets you get kind of the best of Twin Peaks as far as the fun of the experience without being so dark and so deep,
right?
That it haunts you,
right? And I mean, it's not
the way Twin Peaks does.
I think it works too for a casual watch. I mean, it's absurd, and I think I would hope that maybe it would make people want to go out of their way, maybe to look into Twin Peaks to see what this is all about, like what, because there's nothing in the episode and they wouldn't do that would just be, hey, Leland did it or whatever, here's some spoilers for you. But there's all the great references to the show sprinkled throughout. It is beautifully done. It's beautifully done. And I think we should give it a rating, perhaps on a scale of 1 to 5. James Hurley Foreheads, in a segment we call Talking Foreheads.
Talking Foreheads.
We'll start with Dave, who's seen it one time.
I've seen it one time, and full disclosure, I've seen it 1.5 times as I had it playing to the side of the Zoom window.
There you go.
So that I could have some visual and make some observations on it. Still just as entertaining to watch, even if you're half paying attention. It's good. I think Tyler used the word nice and like comfy. It's a casual watch. Like, you don't have to pay super attention to this if you don't want to. And even though I want to, I wasn't able to, but that's fine. I still had a great time. It's weird to rate it with foreheads because it's not actually Twin Peaks. So like I guess I have to kind of adjust my scale and convert the currency. And
what's the conversion rate?
Yeah.
It's probably 1 to 1. So I'm gonna go ahead.
Right.
And so do I rate it as a just television watcher, or do I rate it as a Twin Peaks podcaster?
You do it as both.
Oh man. If I'm doing it as both, then it is gonna hurt the score.
Then do it as a Twin Peaks fan, because that's the people listening to this podcast are Twin Peaks fans.
Yeah, I'm gonna split the difference, and I'm gonna be very generous. I'm gonna give this 4.75 foreheads.
Just 4.75.
And that's just because if you're a casual watcher, so much of this is lost on you, and it would be befuddling. But if you are a Twin Peaks fan, this is 5. If you're a casual, it's probably a 4. Like, still, still great.
But
what is happening? What are we talking about? So 4.75 for me.
Okay. It's a 5 for me.
Just 5.
Hey, that's great.
I don't need to back it up.
I think that's completely fair.
I think a lot of great work into this that made it a solidly entertaining episode. I would maybe even go as to disagree and say casual watchers might just enjoy it for the absurdity. I don't think you have to know Twin Peaks to get it. So, also coming for me as a big Twin Peaks fan, despite no Shelley Johnson, it's 5 foreheads.
Just 5.
I mean, there you have it. That's 3 fives.
Talking foreheads.
I think our listeners should know, coming up, we've got a little something special cooking. Got something special cooking in the Talking Backwards kitchen. Something spicy.
Are you cooking something up?
Something spicy. We're going to take a trip backwards. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean we're going to be watching backwards like some might think, but we're going back to 1989, and we're going back to do a special rewatch of season 1 of Twin Peaks. And we're going to do that with all spoilers. We're going to talk about it all. There's nothing off limits. I don't care. You better have seen everything if you're going to listen to these episodes.
We're going off the chain. We're going off leash. We're going off book. Following no rules. Everything you thought you knew about Talking Backwards, forget it.
Also, I'd love to know what you thought you knew.
Tell us. TalkingBackwardsPod@gmail.com. But no, seriously. Season 1 rewatch, Talking Backwards, it's coming soon. You better buckle up. Get ready. We are rewatching season 1. Through the lens of the return.
We will be giving forehead ratings. We will be getting Tyler Insight. who will have knowledge. Hey, maybe that's the gimmick now. Maybe it is the just gimmick.
Tyler Insight.
Yeah, maybe it's now Tyler having seen it all. Maybe he's got some fresh takes.
He does have fresh takes. If you heard our Judy episode, he was saying things in the recap episode too. He was saying things I never thought of. So I want to hear more of that. Give me more of that, Tyler. I want that in the season one rewatch. No pressure, though. No pressure.
If you want to hear Tyler say things you've never thought of, if you want to hear Tyler say things you've never thought of and you like what you've heard so far, let us know. Reach out to talkingbackwardspod@gmail.com. Patrick?
Hey, you can find us on Twitter @talkingbackward.
Tyler.
Encore.fm/talkingbackwards,
where you can find everything we've got on our public feed, but there's even more.
There's more
on our Patreon. Patreon.com/talkingbackwards.
Patreon.com/talkingbackwards.
Get yourself a shout out, a sticker, some videos. We got 40 hours of that shit.
We just got them. We got them.
We've just got them. They're just there
for you.
Yeah. If you're looking for a way to waste almost 2 days straight, listen to us. We will get you there.
Binge mode.
Binge mode, baby.
That's been talking backwards. We love you. We thank you. And we love you. And we thank you.
We'll see you next time. Or you'll just hear us next time if you don't have the video access.
If you don't have the video access, I could give two shits about you.
Hey, Tyler, be sweet.